Good morning. Happy Friday. In addition to Econ Ed, I think another appropriate nickname for Ed is Ready Eddie, because he's always
So
right
true.
on time. Good stuff. Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to IBD Live. It's Ali Koram here, Executive Editor Multimedia at IBD. And joining me on the panel today, we have Ready Eddie. Ed Carson, our news editor, also David Saito Chung, Hatman, fellow show host and deputy markets editor, also Chris Gessel, our chief content officer. Good to see you all on this Friday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you, AC.
Yes, likewise. And we don't have a special guest today, but these are all very special people right here. So special panelists. All
Special
right.
ed.
I didn't go with that nickname. That's not accurate, but you are
You are
special.
special though,
You
Ed.
are
Let's
Sure,
just say that.
sure.
You are
Yes.
special. There's
Yes.
no doubt
Very,
about
very
that.
special. All right. And joining us in Dark Ops today, we have Justin, Ken, Webby, and Scott. And we'll do our absolute best to answer as many questions as we can throughout our next 90 plus minutes together. We can't get to them all, even though we wish we could. You only see the questions that are answered, not the hundreds of unanswered questions that get submitted each day. But we do our absolute best to focus on the stocks and strategies most relevant to the current market. Now, regarding the Q&A, IBD does not provide any individualized or personal investment advice. We can't answer any question that reflects your individual situation, needs, or objectives. So please, when asking a question, do not give us any information about your personal situation. That includes the stocks that you own. And IBD Live is for informational and educational purposes only. Please make sure to do your own research before making any trade. We are not making trade recommendations. With all of that, Ed, you were first to give a ticker this morning. So why don't you let the audience know what you are keeping tabs on?
I'm keeping tabs on NVIDIA. I mean, it's not actionable now, but there's going to be a big event on Monday. And so that's really critical for the market.
Sure is. NVDA. And Chris, over to you.
I want to take a look at FIGS, which makes healthcare, clothing and things
Scrubs.
like that. And it gapped up on earnings about a week or so ago, and just keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that. FIGS. And now over to Dave for the NEWS. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I tried to get a handle on that ticker on Friday, and I'm glad to have Ready Eddie right behind me just in case I miss anything. So, good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. Looks like our portfolios on the long side might get a little boost here if we look at the Q's. Futures, Ali, are up about 0.4%. That's about the same for SPY, the S&P 500 tracker, as well as the Dow Jones Industrial Average futures. We use DIA, obviously, here on the show. Let's also go to the Treasury yield, TNX, on our market surge beta, a very exciting product. We hope everyone is using it and trying it. Currently seeing a 2 basis point dip. Now, this follows a very massive move that Ali just highlighted with that trend line. We've seen, in fact, also the 2-year Treasury yield, often a good proxy for where the Fed funds rate might be, have its biggest one-day yield rise since May of 2025. The 2-year currently at 3.76. That's kind of close to the current Fed funds rate that the Fed charges large banks. Let's go into some econ data, and then I'll highlight some of the earnings that we had overnight. First off, let's start with personal income for the delayed January month, up 0.4%. Income actually missed the estimate by Econoday for a 0.5% increase. Meanwhile, spending, though, was healthy, up 0.4% versus an estimate of 0.3%. Now, this is for January. Meanwhile, the Fed's favored inflation gauge, or at least this is Jay Powell's favorite one, PCE, personal consumption expenditures, up 0.3% on the month for January. That met expectations, up 2.8%, still on the high side, but lower than estimates for 2.9%. Finally, let's look at the core PCE index, and that was meeting expectations year over year, 0.4% month on month, but 3.1%, specifically from Ed, it was actually 3.056%, slightly above the estimate for 3%. However, as we've reported often, the Fed does want to see over the long run inflation head toward 2%, not stay sticky at 3%. Meanwhile, Q4 GDP, second set of preliminary data showed a 0.7% increase that was lower than the estimate of 1.4%. Durable goods orders came in flat for January versus an estimate of 0.5% growth. Ex-transports orders were up 0.4% on the month. Here again, this is shutdown delayed January. And core capital goods. Over to crude oil. Saw an interesting story by CNBC, probably reported by a Wall Street Journal too, that there are something like 125 million barrels of Russian oil sitting in tankers all across the world. And the U.S. has allowed it now to buy Russian oil. That might be helping a decline of 2.3% in crude oil futures right now, the near-term contract, $93.54 per barrel. Natural gas down 2%, $3.16 per million BTUs. Let's hope for no more of those big bomb cyclones to our friends over in the Northeast. Gold is currently at $5,114 per ounce, down 0.2%. Silver, $84 an ounce, down 1%. Now we'll go to some earnings here. Adobe, ADBE. After hours last night, I saw it down as much as 7%. EPS beat nicely, adjusted $6.06 a share, up 19%. Revenue also beat slightly. Top line was $6.4 billion. Meanwhile, revenue guidance for the next quarter was above Wall Street's view at $6.46 billion on the midpoint. Company's AI-first annual recurring revenue, they often call that ARR, annual recurring revenue, more than tripled year over year, and subscription revenue grew 18%. However, analysts were a little bit shaken by, one, the news that the longtime CEO Shantanu Narayen plans to step down after 18 years at the job. He says he'll stay as chairman even after a successor is picked. And meanwhile, I think Patrick Seitz, or one of our great tech writers at investors.com, also highlighted some sell-side research on Wall Street, saying that they're still worrying about decelerating revenue growth at Adobe. Rubrik, RBRK, was not moving very much after hours. Not sure about this morning. RBRK, Rubrik is now up 4%. That's good to see. Adjusted EPS surprise of 4 cents a share. Street was expecting an 11 cent loss. And revenue was stronger expected, $378 million versus the analyst call for $342 million and up 47% year over year. Also, this was a positive. Rubrik sees EPS in between 7 cents and 27 cents a share. So that means the midpoint was probably around 17 cents versus the estimate of 7 cents. Ulta Beauty down 10% at the low after hours during extended trading. It hit 559. Ulta's EPS beat a few estimates that I saw, but also missed others. Nonetheless, revenue edged views by about $6 million, up 12%. Now, revenue is expected to decelerate in fiscal 2026 versus the recent couple quarters. Let's see here. Full year projection for earnings, $28.30 at the midpoint. That's 34 cents below views. Let's also look at Sentinel One. The ticker is S, Allie, and that stock was down 6% after hours. Q1 profit outlook disappointed the street at 1 to 2 cents a share versus expectations of a nickel. Placer AI, meanwhile, noted that foot traffic at Lululemon continues on a weaker path, falling 3.5% in November, down 8% in December, and then down also 2.9% in January after some nice foot traffic growth at its stores in October. That's been a disappointing trend. The athleisure giant is going to report Q4 results on Tuesday, March 17th. That is the day where we are, hopefully all wear green. That's St. Patty's Day. Meanwhile, Yeah, and a few more earnings here for everybody. Ali, let's take a look at BKE Buckle, the clothing, belt, and watch retail chain. Didn't see much movement on the stock. Q4 earnings came in $1.59, revenue at $399 million. Wheaton Precious, WPM, silver and gold play posted at $1.23 in earnings per share. Q4 revenue beat by a lot, $865 million. They also boosted their dividend. And finally, let's look at Ollie's, OLLI, the bargain outlet. That stock was up a little bit on a, despite a revenue miss and adjusted EPS just meeting the street estimate, $1.39. Also, finally, the fiscal 2026 EPS estimate at the midpoint was actually slightly below the estimates for $4.48. And I think that's what I got for you. Let's have another great Friday, shall we?
Let's do it. All right. Thank you, Dave. Let's turn our attention to analyzing current market conditions. I'm going to go on over to the daily chart of the NASDAQ composite. And Chris, I want to start with you because the action on Thursday, not exactly what we wanted to see,
No.
really weak. So the rally attempt still intact, but your thoughts on where things stand?
Yeah, I mean the market is remaining as it has. It's, gaps up, reverses, looks ha has a really impressive day like it had on Tuesday, and then we gap down and close at the low. I'll tell you, and I was looking at some shorts earlier in the week. Should have gone that way. They were, doing much better than a lot of longs. Take a look at IVE.
Sure.
So I've been watching this a lot. This one took out its low. So, value had been leading the market, and now this one is, I mean, that does not look good at all. So it really seems that there's been another shift. The value stocks are not performing, and it seems like it's oil, and there's some other names doing okay. But another stock I'd like to take a look at is AAOI, which
Sure.
was just showing fantastic action and then was down I think like 15 or more than 10% yesterday. And
Let's
let's see
see.
what it is.
Yeah, down 16% yesterday.
Yeah, 16%, and now down
Another
another
five.
five. So it's right there at the $100 mark. So again, this is a market. I mean, this one has a really high ATR now.
Yeah.
But selling into strength makes a lot of sense.
Definitely. Yeah, we haven't had the follow-through day yet. I think that there were compelling reasons to perhaps go with some pilot positions in some of the leaders on that reversal off of the 200 day, but we've said previously that when you don't have that follow-through day or those signals of an improving market, that you want to be more cautious. So smaller positions, keeping a tighter leash, not just letting things go in the way of a lot of damage to your portfolio. So just being a little bit more cautious. So from here, Chris, what do you want to see in the market to get you a little bit more interested?
I'd love to retake the 50-day, but ultimately, well, if we could retake the 50-day, that would be that would make me a lot more I guess confident. But ultimately, we've got to take out 24,000 and trend above that because we could go right back up there and then hit that ceiling again and pull back. So ultimately, That's what we've got to do.
Yeah. And another couple of levels that our team is watching, the 21 day, of course. And then I think we have some recent highs here on the NASDAQ that we're also keeping an eye on before we get to the 50 day. And then on the downside, that 200 day, still a very key level that we want to see hold. Webby, our senior market strategist on the team, Mike Webster, has shown historical research of once you break that level, the odds are that the selling could get a lot worse and it could take quite a bit longer for things to repair themselves. So we're definitely continuing to keep an eye out
Allie, I
on
hear
that.
they're renaming that low the levee, and so I'm just not sure.
Oh yeah, we don't want the levee to break. We don't want
You
that.
got
That
it.
would be bad. All right, good stuff. Ed, over to you. What are you seeing out there? RSP also undercutting its low, trying to bounce, but looking pretty damaged here increasingly.
Yeah, and that goes to the whole value issue out there. I mean, it is so there are some things that are working a little better. The memory plays are better. It's like some of the AI hardware did better, partly because of some maybe the Oracle earnings, which Oracle looks terrible, but AI hardware, maybe some of the NVIDIA S investments this week. So I'm looking at that, but look, this market just has looked really tough. It's been even aside from again, going back to the NASDAQ, you could be completely oblivious to everything about the news. And this is not good. It hasn't been good for months, but especially from like early January, it's not just been going sideways. It's clearly been going down, and it's generally
Yeah.
been going down on all the major indexes around that point. That you can't make money off of that. I mean, obviously somebody can. I mean, if you bought the right things, like, oh, I was smart. I bought the fertilizer makers 2 weeks ago. I did this, and yes, there are stocks that rose, but you buy on the day two of strength, and the market rolls over again. But there's always the risk. Oh, I'll just buy on the dip. Well, I mean, even that hasn't worked great because we keep on having lower lows. And what's the risk? What if we really break? What if the levee really does break? Kind of thing. And we go through that 200-day line. We go through the November lows for the NASDAQ. I mean, all the major indexes are close to their 200-day line. So you could see really sharp drops. And honestly, all this really comes down to oil prices, it seems like, and some of the related shortages. I mean, it's like if oil prices come down, if the Strait of Hormuz opens up, oil prices are going to plunge. Fertilizer prices are going to plunge. I mean, we have all these risks. Right now, we have the risk that in a few weeks, you could have the global economy in real trouble. I mean, just little things like Taiwan Semi. Taiwan Semi fell sharply yesterday. Why did it fall sharply? Because it may not have enough helium. Okay, when it's just things like that. I mean, there's also natural gas issues with energy with that, but it's like, this one really sold off more than a lot of other names because Taiwan doesn't have helium. So there's just a lot of things, but it could all go away very quickly. But you don't know that. I don't know that. You have to wait for that market to happen. I think be prepared, work on your watch list. Those watch lists constantly have to be updated because lots of things are swinging around. Don't look for pristine bases, look for relative strength, look for things holding or trying to hold their support levels, and wait for that turn.
So we know some of the areas that have worked, they're risky, especially at this point, to try to get in.
Yeah.
It's your, to your point, it's one thing if you were getting in at the right time, but as this continues to play out and we don't know when the next headline is going to hit, how would you be managing risk with that? If you have profits, just go ahead and consider at least locking some of that in with the awareness that, hey, things could change very rapidly.
Yeah, I mean, look, with short-term things, if you happen to have some things, I think that taking some profits makes sense. If you have long-term winners, you could, I mean, if you've held it through all this period, I mean, let's be clear. If you've held NVIDIA through all this time, what's really going to motivate you to sell now? I mean, honestly.
Yeah, if you didn't
I mean,
already,
yeah,
right?
so I mean, you're probably going to stick around. Obviously, if it broke decisively lower, okay, fine. But yeah, I mean, I think having some long-term, if you have your some long-term winners, and you can always decide when you want to get out. But otherwise, yeah, I think staying largely in cash, unless you, so That's just the way to manage risk because there's no edge in this market it is right now. It's just there's this thing, the things that are working could fall 20%. As I said, like what if, oh, okay, the Strait of Hormuz opens up, fertilizer prices could drop 20%, fertilizer stocks might drop 20% off that news. I mean, it's like, well, what do you do? You know, it's like, oh, so
So CF, one
yeah,
that
I
we could
mean, it's
look at
like,
there.
yeah, I mean, it's like that could absolutely plunge. It could absolutely plunge down to 100. You know, that would not be crazy, you know, if there's that positive news and it could happen virtually overnight. And yeah, I just don't know where you go. I mean, look, I'm just trying to stay almost entirely in cash until that thing changes. And again, markets have bad times in the year usually and good times in the year. This is not a good time. Let's wait for the good times and let get going then.
Just responding to a question when I referred to that research about the 200-day line. Not only did Mike Webster talk about that on last Friday's Stock Market Today video, but we also, I believe at the end of Wednesday's show, right, Webby? I think we looked at two examples from 1996. So go ahead
That's
and
correct. Yeah,
yeah.
both times in 1996, but the Friday one had some
Love it.
additional examples, and that was at the beginning of the show. And I would suggest people watch that right after IBD Live.
Yes. So go check that out. We have a Stock Market Today playlist at investors.com/videos, and you can also find all of those episodes on our YouTube channel. Okay, great. Dave, over to you. Want to get your perspective on the market action here. And also, if you could let the audience know a little bit about this weekend's premium
Oh.
workshop. I want to go ahead and make sure that gets some attention as we get underway here. You know, we don't have a follow-through day. You know, we're not
Sure.
just buying things left and right at this very moment. We're going to get to a lot of tickers, but I think that this special webinar deserves attention right now.
Yeah, I it I th I really do think so. Thank you so much, Ali, because you're going to get two quite different perspectives on trading and investing, because Scott St. Clair and my style have some differences, but all in the spirit of being disciplined, being very choosy, being focused on the timing and entry. The official title, The Roadmap to a Winning Trade, right? And this is kind of a redux of the building conviction in the biggest winners, that presentation that I used to do during the so-called Level 4 Ken Slim Masters program, which is now I guess Founders Club, as well as the Level 3 and Level 2 intermediate and Level 3 advanced workshops, where I've taken a lot of time to analyze the greatest stock market winners. This time around, I'm going to talk about some new concepts that I'm learning by doing research, if you will, of the 2000-2008 model book of the greatest stock market winners. And I thought that would be a good one to cover. As we all know, William O'Neill Company has done research on decades of the biggest winners. But I wanted to look at 2000 to 2008 because that was obviously a tumultuous time in the stock market. And yet there were many different great winners with CAGRs, compounded annual growth, on a median 134% during the life cycle of their moves. And I'm hoping to share some ideas, suggestions, statistics, facts, and tips on how to hold through most of these stocks during their normal and natural pullbacks, en route to some really big gains and hopefully life-changing profits for people. So I'm very, very excited about this and going to present a number of chart examples. Scott will focus a little more on the timing, position sizing, and other topics. And we're gonna start 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, a 3-hour workshop. There might be a little break in between, and both of us will then team up for the post analysis. So we hope that it's very valuable, and most importantly, it helps get people prepared for the big pull in big stocks at the beginning of a new rally. So, you know, you're absolutely right, Ali, in terms of timing. I think the content is very good. Regarding the current market, I pretty much echo what everyone has said. I think it's smart to be cautious, but also to be ready for new opportunities.
Yes.
We for instance are seeing a little bit of pickup in some of the Bitcoin related stocks. Right now, GBTC up 4%. So a little bit of a return for the animal spirits. Not saying that this is a buy over here, but you can see that GBTC testing that. Is that GBTC there? It was testing the 200-day and trying to get some
It's thinking about it.
I guess so. Right. One stock that I've actually started to buy is Circle CRCL because it the more I read about that company, it's kind of in a good place where all the gyrations of Bitcoin is making people interested in cryptos gravitate more toward a stable coin, and that is the business of Circle because each one of their coins, if you will, are backed by real assets like treasury bonds. I also, if possible, I don't know if we can look at NASDQ, those technical indicators on the beta. I assume we can. There we go. And we can see that since February, the very last graph on the bottom shows the number of new highs well below new lows. So clearly, that's the kind of environment ripe for short selling. On the other hand, you see that second chart regarding the oscillator, and we can see that we are at the sort of the lowest levels we've seen since August and November of last year, but not quite at the low of April 2025 for the NASDAQ. The short term, oversold oscillator can be a good timing mechanism for some short-term moves. And if you look at NYEXG, Ali, it's interesting that this one is also showing a very bearish look on breakouts because the number of new highs has now really dwindled to 80 on a 10-day average. It was nearly 300 just a month ago. And then look at that oscillator, that second graph from the top. I mean, we are getting ever closer, right, to the low that we saw in April 2025.
Yes, indeed. All right. Thank you, Dave, for that market overview as well as the details of the roadmap to a winning trade. And for anyone interested in that webinar, I have the link for you so that way you don't have to go hunting on our site or in your inbox. So just say the word in the Q&A and we'll send you the link. And I think that the key thing here with this is, as well, is if you're not able to join live, because we know people have plans on Saturdays, right? Joining live is always very fun, because as this audience, as they well know, because we are live right now. But if you're not able to join live, you are able, you get access to the recording and you can go back to it over time and you can rewatch it and use that as a really, really great resource for you in your studies to become a better investor. So we'll get the link out in the Q&A. And thanks everyone for your interest and for those of you who have let us know that you have signed up already. So great stuff. And if you are a Founders Club member, you automatically get access. So if you need any coordinating on that, reach out to Bridget on our customer success team. All right. With that being said, let's go back to the charts here. And there's a look at that GBTC, Dave, that you were talking
Oh, great.
about.
Yeah, thank you.
And yeah, so on the move here today, and you mentioned Circle. I do want to get to that too, because the audience is interested in that. Let's now go to Chris and Figs. This is the ticker you wanted to highlight today. A nice move on earnings. And what are you seeing now with the potential setup?
Well, first with earnings, they really expanded sales and earnings. They're branching out to more things, not just scrubware. They've also opened up some stores that are already profitable, and they're planning on opening some more. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. And what I'd like to see is, if maybe even taking out yesterday's high might be a place to start building a position here. Especially if the market keeps rallying, although it's starting to pull back a little bit. So I'm just watching it, and ideally it would be great if it just kind of went sideways here, let the 21 day catch up, and then moved off of that. But I'll especially if the market firms up and looks stronger, I'd like to give this one a try, and just see how it could move.
Okay, so see if it can, that 21-day can catch up to the
Right.
current action and get a bounce off of that level. Let's go to the weekly chart here, Chris, because this is also a great perspective from a volume standpoint, from the turn
Yeah.
that the move is make, you know, the stock is making, and the fundamentals. I mean, a big change there that is, it's great to see this data on the chart.
Yeah, and the thing that really on the fundamentals is the big acceleration in sales. This had been a single digit sales grower, and all of a sudden it jumped up, and that's the reason for the big surge there, and really indicates there's a big change in the business going on.
All right. Good stuff there. Ed, I want to go to you and NVIDIA. That's the stock that you wanted to highlight today. Also, probably before we get too far into the show, we are getting a couple of questions because the rally attempt is still intact, and I will remove some of my drawings here so we can see. We could technically get a follow-through day today. Tell me a little bit more about that, Ed. What would qualify as a follow-through day today? And how would you be, 200% long NVIDIA?
Yeah, sure. Going all in on that. Yeah, you would need a strong like gain. Like I'm like sort of, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris and Dave, like 1%, 1.25%. Move on one of the major indexes in higher
1%.
volume than the prior session. But look, I mean, unless we get like some 3 or 4% gain, I mean, which would presumably involve some amazing news from the war and oil prices, it's going to be like in the middle of all this chop. You won't even be able to really see the follow through day. I'm not saying it'll still be valid. And sometimes follow through days look extremely dubious and they do work out. But I think we'd need further confirmation because all this would look, I mean, we've had all these big 1% days. I remember Chris Sackman, look at all those, there's big days in there. So a follow through day in this kind of environment at some point almost seems inevitable, but it wouldn't necessarily change the thing. So I would be extremely reluctant heading into a weekend where who knows where oil prices will end up on Sunday afternoon, evening. And we've already done most of the things we can do to relax oil prices. So if when oil prices start heading higher again, it's not clear what's going to stop that until the Strait of Hormuz actually opens. But anyway, so I and with NVIDIA earnings and I mean, NVIDIA event and Micron earnings, I don't know if I might do some token ETF position kind of thing, like Qs or some kind of thing, just to acknowledge the FTD and tip my hat to it, but I'd want to see a lot more, get above at least the 50-day line.
Okay, keeping a close eye on that. So, NVIDIA, how does this play into your overall view of the market?
I mean, look, it's hard to imagine it. And like Chris, I'm talking about, I want to see the market get to new highs. It's really hard to see the market getting to new highs unless NVIDIA makes some kind of progress. It doesn't have to be the most amazing driver. It could be a laggard. You might say, why are you looking at NVIDIA? It's like, but you would think that it would need to be getting toward 200 for that to happen. The AI trade has had a good week. NVIDIA, I think, rose last week by a hair and has had a decent week. I mean, when you're given what the market is doing, so it is showing some strength, but it wouldn't take much for this to break below the 200-day line. It wouldn't take that much to get above 197. Just could really important for the market on Monday. Jensen Huang is going to speak at 11 o'clock Pacific time, so during the trading day. And he's going to talk about all the things that NVIDIA is doing, all the partnerships. NVIDIA is expected to unveil a new inference chip that's like more energy efficient than its GPUs. That might be something that can help it compete against Broadcom, say, and Marvell, I think, something like that. And some of the custom chips out there. So, yeah, I mean, it's at the 50-day line, nice level. That's necessary, but not sufficient. It needs to get above 187 or maybe a downward sloping trend line, so from the top of the base. So maybe you could argue that, say, I don't know if you wanted to, it's like, 195 or 190 or something. I'm trying to, whatever, however you draw it, something in there. Yeah, get above the meat of that. That might be a place where you could get into it. Just really, really important. Look, the numbers are tremendous. But this is why we talk about you buy on fundamentals and technicals, because the technicals just haven't been there for the last several months. It hasn't been terrible, but and it does this. So at times. But and even if you're not interested in buying NVIDIA, all these other AI hardware plays are going to really move, presumably, off of what Wong says on Monday.
Let's go to the weekly chart. Get that perspective as well here, Ed. Playing devil's advocate. I know you like doing that too.
Sure, I.
It's a big winner that's at its 40 week. Some traders do like using that level as a potential area to get in.
Yeah, I could see that. Look, if it weren't for the event on Monday, I'd be more inclined the bounce off the 40 week, especially if I think you would want it to get above the 50-day line at this point, because that's clearly been a resistance point in the last few days. And it's right there. It's right there. So it just needs to get a little bit higher. I mean, the accumulation distribution hasn't been great. I mean, it's a D minus. The up down ratio is, basically one. So that's neutral. So you certainly could be doing that. But I just don't think with this market, yeah, I'm not inclined to make those kind of bets, especially ahead of big news. And at some point, I will have lagged. Somebody will be, aha, I was the smart one and I bought. And that's the day that everything takes off in the market. And that person can really feel really good about themselves. I would be the one who made that decision and then watched the market fall 8% after making that big move. I'd rather not be that. So if we have a rally in NVIDIA or in the market that is worth its salt, the reason why I love the theory of the follow-through day. You wait a few days for a rally to start gaining momentum. So it's not just a day or two. It's not just one day, but you actually wait, but not too long. You want just a few days where things are going. And that's one reason why I don't think this follow-through day
Yeah.
would be really that impressive, given that we're not really, wouldn't be really charging up. But that's why you just want to see that momentum and then. But look, NVIDIA could be part of that. If oil prices are calm or fall next week, and NVIDIA and Micron have positive news next week, oh boy, we could have a really good week, and that would be at least worth trying.
Yeah. Next
I will
week.
say, if the Nasdaq rises 1% in higher volume today, that would be an inside day.
Yes.
Right.
And I
Right.
didn't we have something like that in 2020 though? Wasn't the first follow through day like the Nasdaq or the S&P? Wasn't that like an inside day or close to it? And then it was like a few days later when another index, and it's like, okay, now we're going. I think it's a, and that's okay, and so like, yeah, 4/13 or fourth, yeah, the end of that.
Oh, okay.
Or I'm sorry, just like
We'll get the date thing a little
we'll see.
better
It might be a
because that
little, might be a
was.
little later, yeah, than that.
Let's check it out.
But okay, maybe it wasn't. Was that? Was there a follow-through day like
The
that
third, it
day?
was the third and the sixth. So the
Yes.
third was the S&P follow through day, right? So let's see what the positioning of that was.
Yeah. Okay. So there was
Or the four.
The
Well,
fourth, or was it
this,
actually the
it was the
second?
second. The
I
second.
it
It
was
was
the
the
second.
second.
So
Okay, so
yeah,
yeah.
that does that look
Yeah.
impressive? I mean, at least there was a big
Yeah.
nice uptrend before, but it was like, almost an inside day. But then it was the next 2 days later when the Nasdaq had its follow through day, and it's like, okay, all right, this is something more. And So, yeah, I think that we'd want to see more confirmation with any follow-through day we're having in this environment.
And let's go back to today. Yeah, whether those headlines come next week or this afternoon, we don't know exactly when the tide will change, how soon, how long. Could take a while. But in terms of this week, yeah, so a 1% gain, not too impressive, but who knows? Maybe this weekly bar starts looking better. We'll have to see where we close in the weekly range. I know that's something else that we'll be watching for. And Justin and I will have insights for you with our end of day wrap up Stock Market Today video. Webby not able to do it this week, but he will be back next week. And Webby, if you want to, send us a couple sentences of your thoughts, because I know that you're really able to boil down your thoughts into three sentences.
Two sentences, Allie.
Two sentences.
That's
Okay.
right.
I stand corrected.
I'll
Give me
be
two
on the way to
sentences
the
on your
airport, but
thoughts.
I'll try to text Justin.
That'll be good. If you can, no pressure. All right. Thanks, guys. Back to stocks. Dave, I know you love a good acronym, right? Well,
I always do. I always do.
So, and I'm gonna turn on the EPS and sales table and earnings here. Jay from our audience said has a new acronym for us. It's Get Mad with GEV, ESLT, TSM, MU, AA, and Dell. So,
Oh,
are you ready to
wow.
get mad?
I love that. And
So here's
mad
TSM.
about tech stocks, especially when we get that confirmed uptrend, Allie, for sure. And wow, I wish I wrote all those down, but let's start with TSM.
I'll send them to you. But yeah, we can have the team
Appreciate
take a
it.
look at some of these.
I'll definitely look in the Q&A too, but wonderful, wonderful new acronym. I'll try to use that as much as possible. I think this dip below the 50-day actually is not too bad when you consider a mini precedent. You look at November and December, you see how TSM actually spent a lot more time below the 50-day as it formed what looked like initially a double bottom, and then that double bottom failed in December, but then it righted itself in January. This kind of dip below the 50-day is actually one topic I will discuss during a key segment of tomorrow's webinar. So until we see actually the stock rise above the 50-day or the 10-week, your favorite moving average of choice, I would still be on the cautious side. I would err on the side of maybe omission rather than commission, and just wait for a confirmation that institutions are trying to load up. But here again, like I said, this is not abnormal in my view, because some stocks are just gonna dip their toes below the 10-week line or the 50-day for a while, and decide, I had enough, and then they rise above it. And
That's sort of the
obviously,
personality of this stock, actually, if you look at
precisely.
the prior two bases.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And then, when it comes to a real base, then usually you just really want to stay on the sidelines, and you don't want to be nitpicky about, oh, look at it, it's just a few points or below the 40-week line or the 10-week line. You just gotta sit on your hands and just watch it and let the institutions figure it out. So definitely great watch list stock, and without question, Ellie, we're looking at one of the best fundamental winners in the AI data center industry too. So never forget that.
I know Leaderboard was dipping the toe in the water this week with some stocks that had pulled back to that 50-day area and then had some attempted bounces. Can you give us an update on some of those more recent buys? Was this one of them? Just give us an update. That would be great.
Yeah, it was. And we made a decision to try to expand a little exposure, especially as earlier this week, Allie, we saw the stock really reverse higher, close above the 50-day. That was on Monday. And the prior week, we were solidly down below the 10-week line. So we look at both the daily and weekly charts, but unfortunately, this new half position on TSM was a victim more of the greater volatility. Maybe we could have considered waiting until, for instance, just like what Ed said, the GTC conference and news that will come out next week. Maybe that could be a secondary, stimulant for the stock. We'll see.
Okay, good
There's, as
stuff.
I said, there's that helium concerns. Taiwan Semi
Yeah.
has, that's I think why it's, above and beyond. So this might lag some of the other AI chip plays, but until there's news, until there's some reason, and then it could outperform. I mean, then it could get a big relief, more relief from the Iran war than say, a NVIDIA.
Yeah. Chris, I think we've got to go to you and the M and get mad. And that is Micron. Look at this stock. That's looking really nice.
I had a hedge on it this morning, and I've taken it off quickly, and especially when it was breaking that downtrend line. And so, I mean, it looks good here, definitely. The issue is what is the market going to do? Because the market's starting to fade, and we'll see how it holds up. But and earnings are coming next week too, so a couple things going on. But yeah, this looks like I mean, I love that it's breaking that downtrend line. Let's see if it can hold it today. That'll be a key element.
And this is in a very different position right now than the broader market. It's held up really well. I mean, yesterday's down day doesn't look that bad, even though a lot of stuff got hit really hard. So it is setting up here and potentially actionable ahead of a potential follow-through day here. But to your point, we've got the earnings next week. So there are those added risks here with something like this if you're not already in it.
Yeah, I mean, buying it now, I don't think I would do that if I hadn't been in it, for so long. But I will say that if the market were in better shape, this would be a great place to add or, start getting start,
Yeah. Looks
even opening a
fantastic.
position. But again, you got earnings next week, so that's another element that you got to be careful with.
Yeah, that
But
relative strength
the other
claim.
thing, looking at the weekly, I mean, how many big leaders have outside weeks?
Exactly. So I was
Yeah,
gonna.
so
Yeah, that
that's
weekly
impressive.
bar looks really nice. That expansion, I know Webby has talked about more on the monthly, but I'm sure probably on the weekly too. He can correct me if I'm wrong. That expansion of the relative strength line versus its moving averages just looks really nice there. And this is another company with that triple digit growth on the bottom line and Chris, the acceleration on the top line, which is what you really like to see. So can they continue that in the next quarter, in 5 days from now? I know at least the estimates here on the chart look pretty strong.
Well, the actually our cover story this week, and I think it's published this morning, is on these disc makers. So Micron, Western Digital, SanDisk and STX. So those are the four big movers in this, and we'll see how it goes. There's a lot of demand, and they're building more fabs, but those they it takes like 2 years to from I guess decision to actually operating. So if the demand continues, there could be still a big move for these stocks.
Yeah, and it's been a little while, but I have interviewed the CEO of Micron a couple of times. We're trying to get him again for an interview post earnings. We'll see. You know, it's always one of those things where CEOs are really, really willing to talk to you when the stock isn't looking that great. All of a sudden, once the stock is looking really good, then they don't feel like they need to talk to us as much. But sometimes there's some really cool CEOs out there. So we'll see. We'll see if he's game. You mentioned, so quickly we'll just go to the other memory plays. So you mentioned Western Digital. We'll just take a quick look at this chart here. Also setting up, holding up nicely after that bounce off of the 50-day line and then STX. But in terms of doing anything with these, does it seem like the ideal thing would be to either wait until after Micron earnings or in addition to that, Micron is the leader. Go with that one, depending on how the earnings look.
Although I gotta say Seagate looks pretty good right here, so that's I'd say that's actionable today.
So you'd be okay with buying some of these, even with Micron earnings next week?
I
You just
mean
have to manage the
that's
risk.
an added risk to it, but when you get these, I mean the biggest the bigger risk of all this is the market.
Oil, the war, all that. Exactly. No follow through day yet. Okay. Well, some interesting names there for the watch list, everyone. Okay, let's go to Ed and NXT. Are we seeing sunny skies here, Ed, or is it still a bit cloudy?
I mean, this is one of the, that was a big sell-off, and some of that sell-off was on Array. I mean, I think the big sell-off that we see a couple of weeks ago, because a rival Array had a fell like 35%. So it's bouncing back. It's a little messy here, and so it's like, I'd like it to pause here. I'd like it to pause here, or maybe a little bit higher, like at the top of this thing, and finish out a base. I can see you could draw a tight trend line that it's breaking. You know, you could argue that it's back in there. I could see why people would be doing that. But with the market where it is, it's made a big run. You could easily see it falling back, say 5-7%. I mean, even, you know, even when it was trading quote unquote tightly for a few weeks, it really wasn't tight on a day-to-day basis. I mean, this one could easily reverse lower. I'm just not interested in that, but the relative strength line is strong. I'm also not, I mean, I guess the earnings numbers are picking up a little better because I think they were weaker. I think the estimates have improved a little bit. They're not amazing, but it's nice to see those improve a little bit. So I like this. I'd like it to tighten up a little bit. I'm not willing to stack risk upon risk. And but this is definitely a name people should be watching. Again, this is not pristine, but the RS line is strong. It seems to be holding up pretty well. Those are the kind of stocks you want to be looking at.
And just a quick shout out to Craig in our audience. He let us know, you know, very honest here. He wasn't at all excited about switching to the new beta charts at first, but he said yesterday he went through the tutorial and spent the afternoon digging into the new features. Now he absolutely loves it. The design is sharp, it's incredibly intuitive, and it gives me another real IBD edge in the market. Huge thanks to everyone who put in the time and effort into building it. So thanks, Craig. We really appreciate it. I totally agree with your thoughts here. And Chris, I don't know if you have anything to say about this, but just sort of like a background refresher for everyone on the reason why we're doing it is this platform is allowing us to be able to build new tools on top of it at a much, much faster pace. So if we were to have stayed with the old platform, people who've been with us for a long time might know how, you know, we have these really cool ideas for new features, but it's, you know, we're working with a dinosaur here. So sometimes it takes a little while to get it, you know, in front of our customers. This platform gives us flexibility to be able to release those new tools, and it just has a lot more of those bells and whistles already built in. So even with perhaps a little bit of growing pains for everyone, or you know, the legacy is the security blanket, I totally agree with Craig. Just diving in and being able to get some hands-on time with this, I think, is really important right now for everyone. But also, there are just so many benefits to being able to use this new platform, Chris.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a lot of bugs that the team is working on. I think the one of the biggest ones is we just need to when you're going through a stock list, speed up the pace there, because there's a little bit of slowness with that. And for me, it's hard to go through 300 stocks when you're waiting 3 seconds between each one. So that's something that they're working on, and I think that will be, for me, to that would be the element that would make me, I'll just stop using the legacy at that point. So I mean, I use this throughout the day, and I love the fact that I can switch to candles. I love the fact that the data is on the is at the
Fundamentals.
bottom, and you can look at it, on the daily, the weekly. You can look at the estimates going forward, just moving the chart over a little bit. So it really,
Love how dynamic this is.
So that's great. And this is, Mike has noted this, but we all used Wanda, which was the professional version of daily graphs, and it had the data there at the bottom, and you could always see what the estimates were and where things were going. And so it really captures so many of the things that we have grew up on. And plus there's so many other things that you can, indicators that you can use, and ways to set up the charts.
And there are a couple of people asking us about how to find the tutorial version videos, so I'm going to pop that into the Q&A as
Okay.
well for folks. So, and our coaches are really awesome. If you have any questions, I had some questions about how to set up my charts and they helped me out. And so now I know what I'm doing. And for those of you who want the relative strength line moving averages, they have the settings. I gave them all of my settings for daily, weekly, monthly. Someone was saying, make Allie's settings the default. Well, they're really Webby's settings, I've got to say, but I'm copying
They
him.
are for
But
everybody to
for
use.
every sharing is caring. We appreciate it. I'm going to go back to the high low close just for now. But at any rate, yes. So reach out to the coaches. They will give you the specs for all the moving averages that I have, our sort of IBD live charts here. I know Dave likes the 8 EMA instead of the 10 simple, but other than that, I think we have a lot of similarities for how we set up the charts. Okay, cool. Thanks, everyone. Just wanted and keep the feedback coming. We love hearing from you, even if it's something that you want to see improved, right? We're right there with you, and our team wants all your feedback. Yes, the IBD ready lists and watch lists are in the beta version. Everything that you, pretty much everything that you found previously, is gonna be in this new platform, with a few maybe exceptions of things that the team has, we don't look at very often anyway, and different data things and new data that we're focused on. So sorry for that quick aside there. Dave, I'd love to go back to you and have you take a look at another ticker from this Get Mad while we're at it. And that is GEV. Any update on these utility AI power plays? I know a lot of eyes on GEV.
Yeah, for sure. This is still one of my main positions, and one reason why I'm still probably a little more invested than the than normal in this tough market. I don't think it's at a buy point now, but I just really like overall Ally the action since the base on base breakout here. If you're trying to find a spot to get in, maybe it's going to be an eventual pullback to the 50-day.
Okay, well said. There's another AI energy play that a lot of folks are asking us about, a bit of a high octane one. This has a BE, Bloom Energy, has a 21-day ATR of 10%. So, not for the faint of heart. Full disclosure, I do have a position I bought on that reversal day at the beginning of the week. Yesterday was a
Nice
little
job,
tough.
Allie. Nice job. I love that.
Small
You know?
pilot position,
Yeah.
Right, I'm getting my head in the game after being away for a little bit. And so that decline yesterday, it was a, ended up only being down 1.3%, but reversing from a pretty notable gain on the upside. So it all that to say is there's a reason why it has a 10% ATR. But can you give us an update on your take on this name?
I sure will. I like you, Allie, have a tiny pilot position, scalp buy. I love using those words, right? Because it keeps us on our toes regarding such a high ATR stock. And another, your aside was just like the most important aside of these past couple of weeks regarding the all the new features, because you can see that 21-day ATR right underneath the market cap of the chart. You know, we see 44 billion, big company that still has such wild day-to-day action. And Ali, it makes me look like I'm looking at a weekly chart where the last 4 weeks look like two bases next to each other. Because it's so wild from high to low. And therefore, right, the weekly chart gives us a further perspective. You see that to me, the weekly chart bespeaks strength, because you've even though it's not really moved a lot from that cup without a handle, it's kind of sort of put its flag, planted its flag near the top of that base rather than well below into the deep belly of the base or well below the 10-week line. So to me, this continues to be one of the most powerful stocks in the market. Don't ignore it. And look at that relative strength line hitting new highs this recent week here too.
Chris, let's go to you and Dell. This was a ticker that you have highlighted recently. I'm gonna get rid of, well, I guess I could zoom out and show people why I drew that line. coming up to a notable level, not the exact prior highs, but some notable trading happening around. Kind of right where it's trading right now. So I will
Right.
delete that. Really nice looking weekly bar here. And over on the daily, let's take a closer look. Looks like it's acting exactly how you would want it to look after clearing that trend line in the handle, a setup that I know you're a big fan of.
Right. I was really looking at buying it yesterday, and then it started pulling back with the market, and I didn't do anything. So, I don't know if I'll do anything with it today. I mean, I think the market risk still remains very great. I mean, any better market, I would have been in 3 days ago. So that's the type of I really like downtrends within handles. It's a good early entry, and then if it does break out, you can add there. And again, the chart looks great. It's the market that's giving me pause.
Well said. Okay, Ed, over to you. I think we're getting close to looking at all of the get mad names. Alcoa may be pretty accurate with the get mad saying because of all these reversals right when it tries to break out. I might get a little mad if I'm trying to buy this stock.
Yeah, you could get bent out of shape like aluminum pretty easily. I mean, there's all sorts of things like I'm a little surprised it hasn't made a bigger move because I mean aluminum, a lot of aluminum is produced in the Middle East because there's that cheap natural gas. And anybody else around the world using natural gas, especially outside the US, I think they have pretty high natural gas prices from all this. So if you're smelting, say in Europe or Asia, that would also be an issue. So I would have thought, but yeah, I mean this makes it tough. This is the relative strength lines near a high. It's right around a buy point, but man, there have been some swings. And I don't know where you get on this. And that just makes it so tough. I don't know where you get into it. You would think that if LNG production improves elsewhere, or if those things, if things open up, that maybe Alcoa could fall, like some of these names could fall. But this one's come, hasn't made progress where CENX has been a stronger performer. That one is extended. But
Which
yeah,
one?
I CENX, Century Aluminum. So I
Okay.
don't know why this one. I know Alcoa has some more Canadian stuff, and so that's been an issue with tariffs. But that really, I don't think is in play so much. That wouldn't be a factor per se right now, I would think. So I don't know why this one has been doing better. Honestly, I just haven't looked into it enough. But this one has trended higher. Still been volatile. Still hasn't been necessarily easy. But yeah, so I don't like Alcoa's chart. I mean, I could like it a lot more if it tightened up over a week or two. But you should be looking at it. Relative strength lines at high. I say that, but it's like I don't want to pull the trigger. I don't feel safe. I don't feel comfortable in this because it seems like a drop to the 50-day line just seems likely again. That's what it keeps on doing. It goes up and then comes back down. Yeah, and you could say, oh, I'll buy it off the 50-day line. I don't know. I mean, I don't like these up and down. This action, but it's still a stock worth watching.
On the fundamental side, guys, I
Sure.
had read, Ed, that EVs are using more aluminum. That's to counter the heavy weight of the batteries. Do you agree that, EVs might also be a good fundamental driver for Alcoa
I
Century?
mean, there is that stuff. I mean, even I think, some big pickups just do too. I mean, I think that if you can find aluminum or cheaper things, yeah. I mean, I think cheaper, lighter things, that's probably a factor. I don't know how much growth there is in EVs this year overall, honestly. Yeah, I mean, but yeah, I think there's some real energy costs. I mean, Alcoa is selling some of its old plants probably because they have access to cheap energy for data centers. So that's actually been something out there. So in a way, it's become sort of an AI data center real estate play, sort of obliquely. I don't know how much of a factor that is in terms of things out there.
Great. Let's have Dave take a look at the final Get Mad ticker, and that is Elbit Systems. Earnings coming up next week. A fantastic move that this stock has had. It definitely is
Sure it
tied.
has.
It's a defense, Israeli defense name, so we've got to keep that in mind. Give us an update on your view of this one, Dave.
Yeah, speaking of which, I think you're alluding to the risk of the war between Israel and US and the possibility that they could be caught in something to that effect. And I agree that that should always be a risk. It's interesting, Ali, that a number of the successful Israeli tech companies that have their shares on the US exchanges are based in Tel Aviv, which has been well protected. And even see like the CNN reporters and other correspondents base their reporting from Tel Aviv. So assuming that Elbit and others are in that area, likely the risk is less. But nonetheless, when I was looking at the weekly chart you showed with Elbit, I just was enamored in a way by one, the strength of the breakout, and two, how in a tough week for the market, it's down, yeah, 6%, but it's also an inside week. That if you're going to have a down week, that's the kind of week you would like. Four big up weeks and then one relatively fine down week. So keep it on the watch list. And speaking of the get mad, I wonder, Ali, whether our attendee, our very creative attendee, also meant TSEM, which is also another Israeli company, and not just TSM. Because when I
You're
looked at
right.
the Slack, I thought, is this which one is it? Because
Yeah, I wasn't sure either. That's why
this one is doing pretty
I
good
thought
too.
it was a typo, but shame on me.
No, not at all. I think we can have multiple interpretations of the mad emotion. So, and nonetheless, this one is interesting too, because you see the inklings of a potential double bottom like base. I wouldn't be buying here on the test of resistance at the 50-day. I wouldn't be shorting it either, because you have a company that's had a nice long uptrend and it doesn't feel like the stock has broken down.
Yep, so taking a look at that weekly there. Something else that I'd like to briefly mention, Chris, is the volume. Can you talk about the intraday volume? Can I toss that to you? Is there any update on the intraday
Well,
volume for these new charts?
I'm not sure if it's been completely, but
We're working
let's
on
look at
it
it.
at
Let's look at the
least.
5 minute right now. Okay. And I'll just double check. So click on the first 5 minute bar. Okay. And then the second one. Perfect. Okay. So the problem, for whatever reason, I don't know why it was done this way at William O'Neill, but every bar on the intraday was the first bar was a 1 minute bar. It didn't matter what time frame you were at. And so now we're back to the way it should be done. And so these charts are, actually reflect what's going on when you look at a stock intraday. The other thing that we're working on, and I'm not sure, is it there yet?
That is why I asked you. But at the very, this
We were
these are
talking about
our super people, super special audience people, and customers. So we can tell them how the sausage is being made. I think they'd appreciate it.
Sure. So, one thing that I use a lot are 65-minute charts. And the reason for that is, if you use a 60-minute chart, the last bar of the day is going to be 30 minutes, because it's a 6.5 hour trading session. With 65 minutes, all the bars are equal, and so you can and I don't think that we've rolled out the 65 minute yet, but it's in the works, and so I'm really looking forward to that one.
Yeah. Well, and there was another volume thing, right? Where just the calculation of the intraday volume, Chris.
I'm not sure about that one.
Right? But that's something that you
I believe
flagged,
that's already
right?
been in there.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, can you talk? I Webby, since you love volume so much, can you?
Yeah, so the best feature besides candlesticks and the on the weekly chart having the earnings along the bottom is that, and I'm not joking about this, but
You
it's going
can
to
turn
sound like
this
a
off.
joke, is the ability to turn off the volume
Yeah.
on the chart. Because then you can use that space to put other indicators, and we have a bunch of built-in things. So it's that adds to the flexibility. So, but as far as your question, my understanding is that we switched from the prorated take on the volume rate a while back to the actual volume rate, like minute by minute. So let's say you're 17 minutes into the trading day, it goes back and says for the last 50 trading days at 17 minutes in, what was the average, and the volume rate is off of that. So I think that's what you're referring to, but maybe there is something else in addition. But I'm really looking forward to those 65-minute charts in there, because that's something we took from Brian Shannon. And it's just a great idea to be able to break up the day into even spaces.
Yes, awesome. Thanks, everyone. Okay, back to the charts. Whose turn is it?
Hey, Dave.
Dave. Let's go to
I'm here.
Dave and CCJ. What do you think about this? The question was, could this be considered a short sale? I know
Ooh, I
you,
would say
speaking
no.
of our premium webinars, if anyone wants to check out the archives, we have a Dave featured in our short selling premium webinar that happened. Was that last year?
It was 2 years
Yeah.
ago, and I'll be honest, that was one of the most enjoyable webinars, Ali, I've ever done for IBD, because
Awesome.
Justin and Scott and I teamed up, and it was really the, what is it? Is it called the Los Tres Amigos, or the Three Musketeers, or whatnot? But we all had our own sort of concepts and perspectives on it. From my perspective, this is a stock that hasn't broken out, hasn't broken down, and therefore, please do not consider a short here. Based on the many interviews I had with William O'Neill and Scott O'Neill, you're looking for companies that, yes, like a Cameco, have gone up three, four, fivefold, but you're waiting to see a breakout to truly fail, and then you see real resistance on 50 and 200-day moving average after they've crested. You can see that the overall trend in this stock is still up, and therefore I actually see this as a very good watchlist candidate for the long side, Ali.
Okay, yeah. Yep. I mean, the story here with uranium and nuclear and data centers, all the
Yeah.
buzzwords, right?
Yeah, exactly. Even coal's in the mix, right? I mean, thank goodness for coal as another energy source
Yeah.
for Americans during the really tough winter we had, right? And nuclear has still got a long way to go in order to become a truly national level power source. So CCJ, as we know, I mean, it seems to have a very good position in the supply of uranium.
Okay. Good stuff. Now let's get into a little bit of a lightning mode, guys. What do you
Can't believe it's
think?
already lightning mode,
I
Allie.
know. I
Yeah,
know,
what's
right?
going on?
Okay. So the first one, we'll give a couple to Ed here in the discount retail space. Questions about TJX and Ross stores. Let me remove my drawing there. Let's go to TJX first, Ed Lightning, and we'll give you a couple in this space.
Yeah, I mean, watch. It needs to get above that buy point. It's still doing reasonably well, but it needs to get above the buy point, I think.
Okay, ROST.
I mean, it seems a little extended. That's more of a leader. I don't see a place to enter right now.
Okay, just responding to the Q&A. Dollar Tree.
Yeah, that's I wouldn't be doing too much with that, and they have earnings coming up. I know that rival DG did not have good results this past week.
Okay, let's go to Chris and Palantir.
Yeah, still, hitting resistance at the 50-day. For me, this is going to take some time for it to really set up again. I mean, if you're the type who likes to play reversals off the bottom, I think that's been a good trade. But the fact that it can't break above there, at least not yet, I guess I would be booking some profits here.
What about shorts? People ask about that too.
Yeah, I mean, if it takes out the low of 2 days ago, that would be a good signal.
To me, I feel like the risk with shorting this one is it could move on defense headlines
Yeah, you're right.
depending, or it could move on AI headlines depending. So
Yeah,
Just
you also have a strong individual investor base here too. Kind of a there's a little bit of a meme GameStop character to it.
Yeah.
It's true.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to Dave and Credo, CRDO from the audience.
Yeah, good one to watch because of the big move it had. But now it's really in a deep base building mode. So just keep watching.
Okay, Chris, let's have you compare Ciena with Lumentum, LITE. What do you think of these two?
I mean, Ciena, it's been
Closer to
moving
highs.
higher, yeah, and it had that gap down, but then it retook it and holding steady here. Again, for these sorts of stocks, especially with the it's a almost 7.7% ATR. That's a lot of movement each day. So I would just prefer a stronger market. But if it can maybe draw a trend line across those tops, and if it can break through that, that would be very interesting. And then what's going back to the other stock?
Yeah, Lumentum, LITE.
Yeah. So again, this one had the ants, and so maybe it needs to come back all the way to the 50-day. I think that it's definitely got some, the momentum is not on its side right now. It's come down hard, came up, reversed again. So maybe draw a trend line across those tops, and if it can break that, but that's a steep trend line too.
Yep. So we got a trend line going there. Ed CW from the audience. Curtis Wright.
Lot of defense names have pulled back despite what you think everything going up. It is finding support again in the 10-week line, so maybe a strong bounce off of that could provide something, but I'd probably want it to get above today's high.
Another feature that I just quickly want to highlight because we have gotten questions about this is the size of some of the text up here. Depending on your browser, I'm on a Chrome browser. Does everyone see this little Zoom mic or not microphone? Oh my gosh, I'm used to talking into a microphone all day. This is a magnifying glass. So you can zoom in and out. So look at looky there for those of you who want bigger font. You can get it. So that is how you can do that, zooming in and out. So hope that little tidbit helps some folks out there. I know a lot of questions on the lists and how do you get the IBD Live ready list and watch list. So if you go to your list, just like previously, you're likely going to need to re-favorite them potentially. I think mine stayed in the migration. I'm not sure. Maybe I re-favorited them. But yeah, if you just explore in the lists, you'll be able to find the ready list and watch list to be able to flag those. And if you have any questions about the platform, things that we're not able to highlight on the show for you today, reach out to marketsurge@investors.com. And someone wanted me to rem in the audience wanted me to remind everyone that another reason to start using and playing around with the new platform is any new list that you create, notes, things like that. If you've already been migrated, which there was communication on that, you're gonna want to be making those new lists in the new platform. I know this is a little bit of a growing pain thing. If you've been migrated and you're still making lists in legacy, I'm being told that those aren't gonna transfer over. So, don't want anyone to be alarmed if their lists aren't transferring over. So, just keep that in mind. I would, if you're building a list, go ahead and build it in beta and don't shoot the messenger on that.
And pretty soon they're
Next.
going to
Okay,
have
what
a
folks
little.
could do, Allie, and my customer service, so maybe Scott will shoot me for suggesting this. if the stuff is migrated over and you continue to build lists in legacy, what I would do, what I plan on doing, is just exporting those from it to Excel, and then copying into the new one. That way, it's probably going to be the quickest way. That's on my to-do list personally, so.
You can do that. But yeah, if you're like building any new screens with parameters and that kind of stuff, yeah, just something to keep in mind. But thank you, Webby. Hatman, there was a question on if you still own Reddit.
I have a small position in this one, kind of like as a place marker to just keep my focus on it, because I think fundamentally the stock is still going to perform, but technically nowhere near a buy. And certainly, if you bought the stock on that recent cup of handle breakout, the IBD rule of cutting your losses at 7% really saved a lot of your bacon. So I think the stock still has potential, but right now, not a buy.
Okay, great. Moving on. Let's see here. Lots of great questions and comments today. Okay, let's go to Ed and GILT from Teresa.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting. I think if it bounced off of the sort of bouncing off a 50-day, 21-day, 10-week line, made a nice move above short-term highs, that might be interesting. Accelerating growth on the sales side. I am a little wondering about the EPS, so I don't want to dig into that a little bit because the EPS is supposed to be down this year. So that would be my only concern, but seems to be setting up pretty well.
Okay, Chris, let's go to you and NBIS questions from the audience.
NBIS. Let's see. Whoops.
Yeah, I kind of cleared potential early entry this week, having a nice move.
And it moved initially on the NVIDIA making an investment.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, that looks great, especially on a weekly and the daily. So, it was nice that yesterday was an inside day. It didn't give it all back, held. So that was good to see. I would say, I keep saying this, in a better market, I would be all over this, but I'm just reluctant to chase some of these high flyers because we have a bad day in the market and they will reverse terribly.
Dave, questions on gold miners from the audience.
Yeah, that's a great area to look at because we do have a 0.8% drop in gold, 3% drop in silver. And so I'm seeing that impact on a lot of the gold stocks. And therefore, be careful about trying to buy on the dip here because these have had big runs. And another reason to be a little cautious with gold miners right now, in my humble opinion, is the surprising fact that now the US dollar is up for the year.
We go to OUSDR
Or DXY,
or
exactly.
DX,
Yeah, you can see that even on this chart that on a year-to-date basis, the US dollar is now up pretty strong after 2 years, roughly 2 years of declines. Of course, that followed a massive run in the US dollar. But right now, I think a strong dollar is a headwind for precious metals.
And so here's a quick look at the GLD chart. Definitely holding up a lot better than the miners.
Absolutely, because it doesn't move as quickly.
And full disclosure, I do still own some GLD going back to last summer. Let's go to Ed and have you take a look at Anet.
Yeah, falling back below the 50-day line, I'd like it to at least break the short-term trend line from, say, 151 and get above this week's highs. Keep in mind the NVIDIA earn result. This is a company that might fall on NVIDIA news. If NVIDIA says, we've done this with Ethernet, and bah ha ha, Anet's dead to dead. I mean, that's the existential threat, is that there's a huge market for Arista, but there's Nvidia keeps on trying to get into that market more and more. So Arista could jump on Nvidia's news if there isn't much on that, but it could fall. But I'm a little wary about that. It's a little choppy, but I think you probably could do something if it got above, say, the 141 area or something along there.
Okay. The 140 area, we'll keep an eye on that. And then, Chris, why don't you go last? Could be dealer's choice, or I could keep, we just have so many comments today. So I keep scroll. I'm trying to find another ticker in here. I saw a couple requests for one I'm not familiar with. PNTG. Go there. Pennant Group.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with this one. PNT
Yeah, David Ryan has talked about this one, in the nursing care, alongside PACS.
Yeah, it's a little thin because it's only, 9 million in dollar volume. Usually we're looking for, much more more liquidity there. But let's look at the daily because there was that big reversal 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that came right back up. I guess I'm not wild about the action recently, even though overall it's been, heading higher. But in January it had a big down day, and then at the end of February as well. So a little too volatile for me.
And I need to clarify on the thing about the lists migrating. Someone was saying, well, what if I've spent years creating lists? Your list that you've had forever will be migrated or already have been migrated. Any new lists after your account has been migrated, that's what I'm told, are, once they migrate you, they're not going to do multiple migrations. That's what I'm told. That's just what I've been told. So if you have any questions on that, reach out to our coaches, marketsurge@investors.com. They can help you with any questions or migration issues. Some of you out there, I know, because I see some of these emails, have worked with our coaching teams on this migration stuff. Sometimes there needs to be a little bit of help migrating the account. And some people I don't think have been migrated yet. The vast majority, I mean, there's thousands and thousands of customers. I think the vast majority of the accounts have been migrated. Some of you may not have been. I wish I knew exactly who those people were, but you may have to reach out to our team, marketsurge@investors.com, if you need help with that. So thanks so much for all of the patience as we go. I explain all of these things about the new charts and the new system. We really appreciate it. Let's do a final market check and final thoughts. So here's a look at the Q's. Looks like we're pretty much flat here. So giving back some earlier gains, SPY on the day. Also just slightly in the green here. Looking at the Dow, we're up about 0.3%, also off the highs. Small caps, the Russell 2000 reversing lower now, down 0.2% on the day. We can also take a look at RSP, see how that one's doing. Also off highs, up 0.3%. EQAL, another one we've been watching, a little bit of resistance at that 50-day, up 0.5%, also off highs. And then what was that value one that you were watching, Chris?
IVE.
IVE. Yeah, IVE. Well, just since you brought it up at the beginning of the show, we'll just check in on that. Up 0.4%, also off the highs. Ed, let's get your final thoughts first and any tickers you'd like to circle back on or update us on.
A new ticker, VKTX. It just like I started paying attention to this again with when Lilly made the big move a few months ago, which Lilly's not looking well. This one has, there's some, just seems to be chatter out there about their experimental obesity drug, but we'll see. It could be months before we get any data. It's sort of clearing some early entries in this new cut base. It's right around the prior failed buy point of 3680. So I might be something, if I were just in a, whimsy, have a spirit of whimsy, I might have bought this in a better market, but I'm not going to. But it's building the right side of a base, just something off out of left field. If you go to USO, and you can see that, oh, guess what? Oil prices aren't as, they were down like 3%. This is not an exact thing, but you can see that it's off lows. The thing that I'm seeing is that oil is back above 95. So it's just hard to see the market making a real move with the oil prices. And it seems like until the Strait rises, the likelihood is that oil is going to make herky jerky moves that trend higher. I mean, that would seem to be the base case. I don't know. You don't, we'll see what happens. That could all, I have no idea when that will get resolved. Yeah, until that time, it's just not, it's a volatile market. It's a volatile market that's heading lower with tons of news. It's just not a really good environment. And people say, oh, you're so fearful. It's like, look, when it's sunny and like, I'll stay inside when there's monsters out. Okay. When, I mean, I'll just do that. It's like, that's
Scary.
okay. Somebody else can hunt the monsters. Go ahead.
Yeah.
But I will go back out outside when it's nice and sunny and it's more of a Disney movie. So that seems to be more that, and that's when things are good. So I, this, the market doesn't necessarily reward bravery. I mean, you got to have confidence and you got to do this, but not being, not just saying like, I'm just going to stand up, as like, just the last thing is like when I was a kid, there's a photo of me where I've got my hand out, like trying to stop the waves, like coming in at the beach. And it's like, guess what? The waves did not stop, so don't think that you're going to stop that. So stay safe until conditions really improve, and we'll see when that happens.
Thank you, Ed. Dave, let's go to you. I'd also like you to include Circle in your final thoughts because at the beginning I sort of mentioned that you would
Oh,
talk about this.
yeah, no worries.
So why don't you cover
Just
it?
I'll be very brief because I also want to talk about BrightSpring,
Great.
BTSG. I have a kind of a strong point to make about that one. One is that the reason I decided to buy this one is that I felt like when it undercut the November low of 64.92 and even went below the post-IPO low, I felt that it was possibly getting toward a bottom, and a bottoming base might form. You notice that how the Circle really stopped selling off at a key round number 50, and then it turned around quickly with a gap up above the 50 day. So my view of this stock was that once it if it passed 88.46, that could be an aggressive early buy, and that's what I did a couple weeks ago. And looking forward to trying to add to this position. And Ali, you mentioned that the 8-day EMA is my favorite. Actually, right now, my favorite short term is the 5-day simple,
Oh, get real
because
fast. Real fast on
the
us,
5-day
Dave.
simple. I'm getting a little faster, a little faster. And the reason is, I was looking at Circle vis-a-vis the 10-day simple and the 8-day EMA, and it's been floating above it, like as if it'd been stealing all of Taiwan Semi's helium and putting it underneath its feet. And I found that the 5-day simple is actually where the stock has pulled back in a nice, comfortable position. So sometimes when you have a real hot rod of a stock, maybe take a look at the 5-day simple. From here, if it forms a handle and then breaks out again with strong Bitcoin action, maybe that could be a new buy for Circle. The reason I want to talk about BTSG is that one, please, could you check out a weekly chart, Ali? Because I've seen like maybe a half a dozen questions about this one, some of them
Okay. Oh,
directed toward
yeah.
Justin.
Yep. This
Yeah.
is a
And
great one to cover. Thank you.
this one is the way you could look at it is two ways. To me, this is a stock that if it were 2000 or 2008, it would be a model book stock. The reason being that after its breakout in 2024, it had a CAGR of more than 80% compounded annual growth in the price of more than 80% as it made a 258% gain from that breakout around 11 to 11 and a half. It went from 11 and a half to 42, 43 and change. And that is a magnificent gain. And therefore, if you're going to apply the sort of principles that I'm going to share in tomorrow's webinar to help you try to maximize the full gain of a big, true market leader, you would actually not sell here. You could possibly take some profits a little bit, just nail it down for peace of mind. But if you bought it early in this move, you've actually given yourself the right, if you still believe in the company and the direction is going and the overall fundamental landscape, to let it possibly test either the 40-week or create a new base, because that's exactly what it did in 2025 twice. You can see that the 40-week moving average turned out to be a great area for institutions to buy. And I'm also going to talk about how which moving average to use on a monthly chart to help you get the maximum gain from these superb big, big winners. But the final point with this is, if you are more of a short-term position trader, you probably want to completely exit the position now, because this is a sharp break of the 40, the 10-week line, and you don't want a lot of the gain from the most recent breakout near 26 to evaporate. Overall market-wise, it's disappointing now that I look at the thinkorswim that all the indexes have turned lower, and therefore it goes to show that we have to be patient for a real market turn here. So, you know, maintain some caution. The NASDAQ is certainly at a key level. We've seen that the NASDAQ has tested 22,000 numerous times. If we break 22,000, I would argue that we'd have to say that this is a real correction.
Yeah. Hey, I'm keeping an eye.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was just going to, please want to hear from you, Ed. I just letting people know that I'm backing away from some of the things that I was adding earlier in the week. You know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Go ahead, Ed. This is breaking news, and Tim would pointed out in the comments, pointed it out. But yeah, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the Pentagon is sending a Marine Expeditionary Unit to the Mideast. A lot of people think that the only way you're going to open up the Strait of Hormuz is by putting boots on the ground, at least on the Iranian coast near the Strait of Hormuz. So that's something that, you know, that may be something that's bringing the market down. Obviously, that could be something that ultimately lifts the market. But, you know, that is something out there and maybe a reason why the market is selling off now.
Thank you. And Chris, final thoughts from you.
Yeah, I was, well, two things. I was going to note that. And also BTSG. So Ed,
we got you covered.
We got you covered. But I will say
anything else. Yeah.
Well, just as we've been wrapping things up, we've undercut the low of yesterday, and we're getting awfully close to I guess Tuesday's low, or no, I'm sorry, Monday's low. So not looking good. I've already put my hedge back on Micron.
Let's go there real quick.
Yeah, so it's not completely rolling over, but just when the market started rolling over and on the 5-minute chart, it was, showing weakness. So I just put it back on. And we'll just see how this all shakes out. I mean, it's, as Ed said, if putting Marines on the ground makes all the difference, then, this could be the bottom. But we'll have to see how that all plays out.
That we will. All right. Thanks so much, team. That is it from us for today. And keep tabs on investors.com throughout the trading day and beyond for all the latest stock market news and analysis. We'll get the show up at investors.com/IABD live in a bit. And Justin and I will be back at the close for our Stock Market Today video. So we will see you then, and then we'll see you back here next week. Thanks so much, everyone. Till next time.